Hello, I'm doing this podcast as I'm driving off to rehabilitation. Now, previous podcasts I've done while I'm driving has been dreadful, but I've now learnt how to set the record level low and speak relatively loud so that you can actually hear me, but you'll still hear some traffic sounds. So this podcast I think I'll do on airbags, because I've got an airbag in front of me. And of course, I won't go into the actual accelerometer which detonates your airbag. I just want to really quickly talk about the unusual chemistry of airbags. Well, it's unusual, yet it should be very usual. So the airbag explosive is something called sodium azide, A-Z-I-D-E. And azide should be something, I suppose, very familiar, but for some reason people know very little about this, the azide. It's an anion, polyatomic anion. So you've got lots of polyatomic anions. You've got SO3 minus. You've got heaps of nitrates. So it's an anide, so it's a single anion. And it's got an unusual formula. Usual and unusual. The azide formula is simply N3 minus. It's an iode, so it's a minus. So N3, three nitrogens in a row. And essentially, if you think about it, it's the same as carbon dioxide, but nitrogen has got one less proton than oxygen, and one more than nitrogen. So overall, it's got a minus one. So in terms of the actual orbitals, it's equivalent to carbon dioxide, but it is an anion, and it's a straight anion. So it's nitrogen, 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 and it's just a very interesting compound. And I've just got to sort of remember how it's made. Sodium amine and sodium amine, which is Na. Oh yeah, it's sodium amine. It's NaNH2. So that's really sodium thrown into some ammonia. Will give you some sodium amine. So the sodium displaces the hydrogen. So I can well imagine that you get some sodium and throw it into ammonia, which has got no oxygen in it. And you'll get hydrogen gas going off, and you'll get sodium amine, and then you bubble through that, or mix it with nitrous oxide, NO2, and that will produce some NaN3, so Na plus N3 minus, similar to sodium chloride. It's exactly, so N3 minus, if you think N3 minus, it's just another halogen. As far as organic chemistry is concerned, it's just another halogen. So it's equivalent to chlorine, fluorine. It's the polyatomic equivalent of a halide. So sodium, instead of sodium chloride, you've got sodium azide, A-Z-I-D-E, and that's NaN3. That's it. And it forms a explosive. Now, the sodium azide is very stable, whereas your other azides form your detonators. You're pretty stable detonators, and sort of one of the that is that sodium azide is pretty shock proof. You actually need a pretty big shock to set it off, whereas the other metals require a smaller heavy metal azides. Like, so instead of lead chloride, you've got lead azide. How it goes, and then when it explodes, you get sodium. I suppose it must be sodium nitride. Sodium nitride and N2 gas, which is air, or basically mostly air. So it's an explosive which actually produces air, and you don't get many naturally. I don't think it naturally occurs in nature. But you can actually make a lot of interesting organic compounds, which are propellants and explosives. Oh, just watching my airbag to go off here. So it's an interesting thing. Now, in terms of actually writing it out as a chemical, people don't like writing it out because it doesn't suit the nice and neat scheme. So you know how you write water, H2O, and carbon dioxide, OCO with the double bonds. This is N, three N's in a row, like ozone. But in order to make it, to write it down, you've got to actually put a charge somewhere. So you put the charges somewhere. So you can put it minus, plus, minus, additional charges and double bonds. Or you can have a minus, a single bond and a triple bond to get across. And it's one of these things where they, the actual Lewis dot structure and the actual drawing of lines doesn't actually work too well. And so that's why I think people, because it's not a clean example to teach chemistry with, people just don't teach it yet. I suppose people should know that you've got azide, fluoride, chloride, iodide, bromide, I think tennessine. I think that there's some very heavy elements up there. So it's a seems to me a very basic thing to know. It's like it's easy, it fits into the halogen chemistry line. It's got a fairly simple molecular structure, a straight line. It's got a use, a very common use in airbags, explosive, I think rocket fuel, hydroazide. I think the Russians use it as a standard rocket fuel. It's a sort of very interesting, useful compound. So it would fit very much into a knowledge of chemistry. However, we select not to teach it. I've definitely haven't learnt at university or at school, simply because it's just one of those scratch your heads. It doesn't fit in our teaching model too easily, which is basically the Lewis dot diagrams or some lines. So those ball and stick models, it doesn't fit into it too easily. And of course, you have to add a half bond or whatever you do with the dotted lines, or put charge, or put it as a interchanging. What would you call? You've got different states, and say it's a linear combination of these states which you drew. So you can draw one solution with the ball and stick, or the lines between the letters, and then you charge it again. You can draw another one, and you can say, well, it's not that, and it's not that. It's a little bit of both, i.e., it's sort of a complex thing to actually handle. So it's sort of like the wild child of chemistry that everyone knows is there, or I don't know, in fact they don't know it's there. That's a pretty amazing thing. It's a wild child that everyone knows is there but is somehow trying to actually hide because it's a bit difficult, and sort of like a Christmas dinner where everyone's dressed up and this chemical comes in goth. And it's got sort of a complicated history, and it's a conversation stopper for teaching nice pastoral chemistry. You know, this mention of the violins and all, everyone dressed up, and this chemical comes along, and it's a bit bribe. And so for me, go for it. I find it interesting to up for. And because I'm actually just read chemistry by itself, I don't have these prejudices. That's about all I have to say as I get into the traffic here, going to my hospital rehab as I slowly, my major problems is a bit of weight, being very, very stiff. So I've avoided injuring myself with my cracked sternum. They've had a big tap my sternum and checked, since they get a little, was it jigsaw, and catch a sternum open, and then they wire it up, and that takes 6 weeks at least to stick together. And then you've got to very gingerly, well, not gingerly, start exercising it. And of course, I've been a bit more cautious, so I'm still pretty stiff, and they have to work on it. So that's where I'm going into hospital with a group of my mates. The male and female mates, but if you've had heart surgery, especially if you had a zipper operation like me, you're friends for life. Doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, if you've been through it, it's a sort of a bonding experience. Okay, well, thanks for listening as I've covered yet another chemical, and I hope you're interested in it, azide, and it's N3-, similar to Cl-, but a tad bit more explosive. That is, it's table salt. I wonder if it tastes like salt, but it's table salt, which will blow your mouth out. Bye. Thanks for listening. Keep on thinking, doing, and teaching science.